The word today is judge. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. The Bible warns us not to judge, yet, on the other hand, it also tells us to make important judgments. This seems to be a contradiction, but it isn't. It all depends on the attitude of the person making the judgment. Here to explain is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Judge.
We have been reviewing the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Last week we talked about the danger of pride whenever we begin to do the things that Christians do, like praying and fasting and giving to the poor. And today I would like to have us be very careful that we take a lesson from all of these very important verses. As a matter of fact, I mentioned last week, I think it would be a good idea if a Christian would read this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, at least once or twice every year, because it's so loaded, it's so full of the teachings of Jesus. It's the longest sermon of his that we have, and I would think we would want to know it almost verse by verse. For instance, in the beginning of chapter 7, where it talks about, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, this is one of those statements that seems to have a paradox, where it's mentioned both ways in the Bible, and it seems to be contradictory. That's what a paradox is. Two statements, both are true, and yet they seem to be contradictory. Let me simplify it for you. It says in the Bible, judge not, just as this verse says, Matthew 7, verse 1. Then all over the Bible, there are references where it tells us that we should make judgments. We should analyze our friends, for instance, and if they are misleading us and taking us in the wrong way, we ought to make a judgment and say, I'm not going to hang around anymore with that person because they're misleading me. They're taking me the wrong way. You have to make all kinds of judgments every day as a Christian in terms of what is right, what should you do, what does God want you to do in a set of circumstances like this. And so you're constantly, continuously making judgments. Now, how does that mesh and how does that add up with this statement that we are not to judge? Well, actually, you go on and read the next verse in chapter 7, and it will show you that the real issue is what type of judgment you are making. If you are making a negative, unchristian judgment in which you are condemning the other person for their actions without having a God-given reason, you're just jealous of them or some other type of problem in your life is causing you to be, I think the word jealous of them is the simplest thing to understand, then you're making a non-Christian judgment. You are judging them in an unloving way, and God doesn't want us to do that. He says, if you judge in an unloving way, you're really setting yourself up to be judged by God in an unloving way because you're not acting as a true Christian. Now, when you're told to make judgments about the actions of other people and the sayings of other people and so on, and the conduct of their person as they are living their lives, you are to do so critically, yes, in the sense that you do it carefully and analytically, and you observe what they're saying and what they're doing, and you do it on the basis of love. You do it on the basis of God's will. How does it compare to what God tells you to do and how you should act? And then if you see that they are acting against the will of God, that's when you make a judgment to avoid them, to stay clear of them, because that's what God wants you to avoid. So I think this is all part of that sermon that he preached there and things that he wants us to know and understand, that we should not judge in a sinful and ungodly, unfair way. Basically, throughout this entire sermon, he's telling us you cannot serve two masters. You have to make a choice. You cannot, on the one hand, say you are a follower of Christ and then just live the way the world does, as though it doesn't make any difference to you whether you sin or not, and it doesn't make any difference to you whether you're pleasing God or not. God wants those who are truly His to please Him and to do things and to live in a way that pleases Him. You cannot have it both ways. Now, the two ways, an illustration of that here in chapter 7, is in verse 13 and 14, where it talks about the two different ways. One is very wide open, so to speak, and it looks so appealing, and there just are a lot of people going that way. And the other is very narrow, almost restrictive in the sense that it might be a little difficult for you to see it at first. And yet, it's very narrow. You can't just stumble on it, so to speak. You have to be looking for it. And more than likely, if you're not looking for it, someone has to show it to you and say, this is the correct way right here. Don't miss it. This is the way God wants you to go. And it's called the narrow way, and there are a few people on it. Not hordes and hordes of people. 90% of the people are not on this. Maybe it's 70% of the people are not on it. You know, I've often wondered about that. What number of people in the world population of the world are true Christians? It seems like most people that have studied this issue come up with about 25% of the people are on the way to heaven, and 75% of them are not. Now, there's no, don't quote that as though that has to be accurate or right. It's just a matter of opinion. You may think it's 80 and 20% or 70 and 30. It doesn't matter. No one can actually say for sure. But we do know this. There are millions of Christians all over the entire world, and even in places like China, which may for a long time not have been able to publicly share the Christian faith, there are many, many millions of Christians in China, just like India and Africa and all over the world. And sometimes I have the feeling, like from where we're broadcasting here in the United States, we think we are a Christian country, but I'll tell you, I'm concerned about it. I don't feel we are a Christian country. I think the vast majority of Americans are not Christians. What would the percentage be? I don't know. Maybe it's 30% are Christians and 70 are not. Maybe it's 25% are Christians and 75% are not. I can't tell you, but I know it's not the majority of the people. The majority of the people are very worldly and ungodly, and that's unfortunate because it's starting to show up in our entire culture. We are becoming more and more immoral. We are becoming more and more not following the will of God. And that is so sad because at one point way back in our history, when we first were started as a country, we had some very good religious formulas and religious teachings. And our constitution had many religious teachings where we would follow God and serve God. We've been getting away from that, becoming more and more liberal all the time, which is very unfortunate. But the truth is that we need to proclaim the message of salvation everywhere. There are only two roads to heaven. Excuse me, that's a misstatement. That isn't what I wanted to say at all. That's an error. There's only one road to heaven, one road. What I meant to say was there are only two roads, one right one and one wrong one. That's the teaching here of the broad and the narrow. The broad way leads to hell. That's the way that is full of people and wide open. People are just going. Everyone seems to be going the same way. They're not getting anywhere. That's death. And then the narrow way, the way to heaven, the way that seeks the forgiveness of Jesus and asks for His love and forgiveness and presence in your life, very few people on that percentage-wise, but they are the true Christians. They are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, who's going to come again on Judgment Day. So there's only one way to heaven. There's only one true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has revealed Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Word, the Holy Bible. one way of salvation, one way to have the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ. Now, those that say, well, every religion is trying to get you to heaven, and every religion just uses a different name for God, and they're all the same. Ultimately, God's going to save everyone. That's totally false. That is not at all in agreement with what God says in His Word. He says, those that do not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, will have eternal damnation. They are rejecting the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers. And when that's rejected and turned down, there is no salvation. There is only one hope for the forgiveness of sins, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why He came and died for us on the cross at Calvary. So that's the way of salvation, and it's the only way of salvation. Well, we hear about false prophets. Verse 15 to 20 talks about false prophets, you know, and then it tells us the results of the good tree and the bad tree, you know, the two types of trees, that a good tree that is following God, so to speak, is going to produce good fruit and good results. The bad tree that is against God and going against God's will is going to produce negative fruit. It's going to produce fruit of judgment and death. So it's not merely just saying something. You know, you can teach a parrot to repeat, I love God, I love God. You know, a parrot can mimic and mock. That doesn't mean the parrot is loving God. It's just that they've learned to say it. So God wants us to understand, don't just say it, but do it. Believe it. Really believe it in your heart. It has to be from the heart, not just from your mouth. So I believe this whole chapter ends with the wise and foolish builder. The wise builder builds on secure land and therefore knows he is secure. The foolish builder builds on sand and erodes and is blown away and corrupted and he loses. So build your faith on Jesus Christ, God's Son, your personal Savior. Don't go on shifting sand and get blown away. Stay close to God. Make Him your personal friend. Live for Him. Live to the glory of God and serve Him with your entire life. May God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.